time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It's Monday, June 1st, 2020. Wild, wild weekend. I don't know. It's wild because you sit and look at what happened on the space station. What amazing amount of collaboration of countries working together, companies working together, and we look at what collaboration and great leadership can bring us, and then tragically, we look what terrible leadership can bring us. We're looking about the protests that happened over the weekend. It is just something that is sickening beyond belief, and I am so disturbed. But then you start seeing the reports, see the news focus on the negative. Then we start seeing Facebook posts of good leadership. There's one that I saw when I took a quick break before we started the podcast. I went in and I was watching. The news report was up and about how a chief of police in, I believe it was Flint, Michigan, got in and actually joined the protesters to protest the most heinous police crime that's ever been committed and have it videoed. It's just, I mean, I know there's been horrific ones, but this one was, oh my gosh. And what a horrible testimony. It is just one of those things where I don't know what to say other than it was crazy. But I saw good leadership and I saw bad leadership. And I'm telling you, we are in desperate need of great leadership in this country. So we saw some great examples of it, but it's also one more thing. Take a look which party the various governors or mayors were in each of the areas where there was just destruction. You'll see a common theme, folks. Try not to be political, but when you see one party that has a tendency to demonstrate poor leadership, it's hard not to just speak it out. Grateful to have you as a listener. As we say each week, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we are so grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment again is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. I'm excited to have a good friend of mine joining me, Justin DeMolia. He is Vice President of Sales at Lenders One. And we're going to be talking about relationships and partnerships. Great to see what they did again on the space station. Lenders One isn't actually sending people into space, but they are doing some great job at helping people get launched and get successful. I can't wait to talk about what real partnerships and real leadership looks like. So we're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about some of the benefits for Lender One members, especially when it comes to this pandemic season, and get a report. What's going on with some companies inside of the Lenders One network? How are they doing? And Justin DeMolia, Vice President of Sales, will be here to do just that. We've had Brian Simon on in the past. He's a great speaker. We're just excited to have a good friend, Justin, joining us today. Be sure to stay tuned for the Hot Topic segment. We are thrilled to be a part of the Industry Syndicate. The IndustrySyndicate.com has got a list of all of the different podcast contributors, creators, and there's so many of them out there now. We're just thrilled to have them there. Also, I want to give a shout out to Mortgage Media, another one of the partnerships we have, and we've started yet another podcast. We have the Two Daves podcast. This is David Matthews, a friend of 30 years and true industry leader. He's retired out of the industry but continued to give back. And then myself, he's definitely on the Democratic side and I'm on the Republican side, and we're having perspective from the two sides. It's always fun to get into a great discussion and a little bit of bantering with him. But the best part is it's an example of how people can have different perspectives, but how they can come together and share information that benefits everyone. And that's what really collaboration is. It's not always agreeing, folks. That would be pretty boring. It's important. That's how we disagree is probably the most important part. And we saw that again played out this weekend. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors. We have the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. Bill Kelmer and Pete Mills did a great job on April 19th. We're going to have more on about that. And we also had Bob Brooksmith, Amber, talking about the CMB conference. We're going to talk a little bit. Madeline and Amber, Bob Brooksmith, we talked about the CMB exam. I got to go back about signing up for the CMB program. We're going to be talking about that in the interview with Justin, because Justin is leading this week's class and just talking about that. So I'm going to be chronicling my journey on this podcast. So go back and listen to the podcast on August 15th that we did in 2019 about the CMB class. That's how I got signed up. Anyway, also a special thank you to Finastra and their amazing FusionBot system. Also, Lenders One. They're thrilled to have them as a partner, as well as the Mortgage Collaborative. Both of these co-ops do a great job of bringing lenders and members together and helping foster, again, the whole spirit of collaboration and cooperation. Pretty amazing. We're members of both, and we're going to be honoring Lenders One with Justin DeMolia a little bit later on, as I said earlier. Also, the Community Mortgage Lenders of America, what a great job they do working with the MBA, coordinating, again, coordination, collaboration, recognizing a theme here today, good leadership. It's all about that. Also, Indicom, thrilled to have them. They do a great job on outsourcing. If you're getting maxed out, looking for help on your operations, be sure to check with Indicom, as well as Incelerate. Josh and his team there help you engage the consumers. It's all about engagement, folks. How do you engage? How do you work with engagement, borrowers, prospects? And here's the one we don't do so well as an industry. Past customers, check out what Josh and his tools can help do for you. Also, Ainsworth Advisors, more and more of the GSEs and Jenny May are asking for, who is your board of advisors? Check out Board of Advisors, a board advisory service at ainsworthadvisors.com. And then AI Assist, using artificial intelligence. It's very interesting how this is growing in the world of origination. And the two Daves go out to Mortgage Meeting. We talked about that, especially after we had last week's podcast with Alec Hansen. It was a great podcast on how AI is stepping up, allowing LOs to produce far more loans and do the things they're the best at. Go check out AI Assist and our website at Lincoln on Lending under sponsors. Celebrity Home Loans, love what my good friend Dave Robnett is building there with the team, also well as Knowledge Coop. What they do as far as helping train people, Mobility RE and Modex, both of these companies are actually a real good complement to each other. They really help you recruit top loan officers, as well as Velma, VendorServe, Vidyard. You can learn more about all of them by going to our website. And also a special thank you to Alice, Andy, and Matt, who is now joining us, and Alan. So thrilled to have all of them here. We're going to hear a report here in just a minute from Matt. So let's get over to Rob Van Rapport.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapport. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Recently, MBA and several other trade associations developed FAQs in response to member inquiries regarding the GSE's new payment deferral options for borrowers exiting a COVID-19 forbearance plan. These FAQs were developed following discussions with the FHFA, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac. While not official guidance, the FAQs include an overview of information provided by FHFA and the GSEs to help market participants better implement the payment deferral options. Also last week, MBA submitted comments to the Federal Reserve seeking clarity on the eligibility of independent mortgage banks for its Main Street Lending Program. The program is designed to support medium-sized and small businesses by providing credit to sustain operations and employment through the pandemic. As with other business lending facilities, it is expected that there will be further refinements to the Main Street program over time. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Get over to Les Parker with this week's TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the markets. Les.
Exit life. Inter night. Warm new plan. We're off to Never Never Land.
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Welcome to the post-COVID-19 economic world. In Hong Kong, freedom is out and communism is in. So, the Cold War is on. With the world moving 12 times faster since 2008, expect the reindustrialization of the U.S. to flourish by next summer. What else is in and out? Efficiency out. Resilience in. Interdependence out. Self-sufficiency in. Leverage out. Liquidity in. Think about the shift in culture to find the right place. Form new plans. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
I tell you, so much to talk about. You know, I didn't mention at the NBA in their segment, I want to say sign up for the Mortgage Action Alliance. So important that you do so. Google Mortgage Action Alliance, MAA, also referred to as MAW. You can have your voice heard in D.C. And Lord, we need that. Les Parker, Gary Kencherbone, great job on that. I'm listening to that music as you opened up with Les and Gary, what you guys started with. That's what I felt like I was doing. It was headbanging music, and it sounded like it. And that's what I felt like when I was watching some of the riots, just banging my head against the stand. Anyway, we are excited to have joining us Matt Graham. He is the founder and CEO of MBS Live, and he will be replacing the segment on the market segment that Joe Farr has done for so many years. I'm so excited to get Matt joining us. Matt's going to try to join in with us as much as possible on a live basis. But unfortunately, when the markets are live and going strong, he's not going to be able to do that. So he does provide us a recording. Matt, I can't wait to hear your first recording, and thank you for being a part of and becoming a regular contributor to the podcast each and every week. So here's market update for this week. Matt?
Thanks, David. It's great to be here. Got a lot of ground to cover, so I will jump right into it. The bond market was actually refreshingly resilient last week, meaning that bonds, both treasuries and MBS, did better than we might expect given how other risk-related assets were performing. For instance, stocks generally moved higher despite some volatility, but bond yields were able to move lower. MBS prices were able to hold their ground near recent highs, sort of a disconnect from the normal conventional wisdom that a lot of people approach the market with. Yeah, there was some crazy volatility in mid-March that we'll talk about in a second for bonds, but since then, stocks have, of course, moved much higher, and bond yields have held nicely sideways. We were a little bit concerned about an upwardly sloped trend channel in yields, treasury yields, last few weeks, and that just means that we were seeing slightly higher highs and higher lows in rates and bond yields, but that looks to be giving way to a sideways trend in general. And in any event, 10-year yields haven't traded over 0.75 since the middle of April, and they haven't traded over 0.78 since late March. So it's a very sideways range historically. And in fact, it's one of only, May was one of only 3 months since before the financial crisis to be this narrow of a range between highs and lows. That's the kind of thing that really only happens when you have excessive indecision following a major move. Mortgage-backed securities and mortgage rates have followed a somewhat similar path, but they have done generally a bit better in recent weeks than treasuries, largely because they did much, much worse in the several weeks before that. When all the market drama really hit home in March, it was no surprise to see interest rates of all kinds drop to super long-term lows. Treasury yields obviously hit new record lows at the time. For a few hours, depending on the lender, maybe a day at other lenders, we did hit all-time rate lows, and yes, not every lender did, but on average, we hit all-time lows in March, but then things quickly got very weird and sort of redefined the way that we approach MBS analysis, or at least in times of unprecedented crisis, as this obviously is. So the unexpected volatility took a toll, just like it did for treasuries in mid-March when the Fed was forced to step in with emergency bond buying. And at first, the Fed was not aggressive enough as far as the market was concerned, and markets panicked. And MBS, mortgage-backed securities, weakened disproportionately relative to treasuries. That hurt rates in and of itself quite a bit, but we would soon learn that rates were hurting for their own reasons and that they were able to disconnect from MBS to an extent that we've never seen before. In fact, during the financial crisis, the disconnection was the other way around, and it favored rates over MBS. In other words, mortgage rates were lower than MBS said they should be. And now we have mortgage rates amazingly, eye-wateringly, significantly, staggeringly higher than mortgage-backed securities say they should be. That's still the case right now, but it was extreme in early April. So extreme that it really meant that watching MBS and treasuries didn't do anything for those of us that just want to know what's going on with mortgage rates. We talked about this constantly on MBS Live at the time, but if you weren't part of those conversations, the short version is that coronavirus fallout has created unprecedented uncertainty for mortgage investors and mortgage lenders, both in terms of servicing valuations, servicing cash flow, additional costs associated with selling and servicing those loans, margin calls from market volatility created by the combination of coronavirus and the Fed. But perhaps most importantly, and the one that gets the least playtime, is the capacity constraints at lenders. If you consider that rates fell to all-time lows in early March, I think it was March 9th that we saw the lowest rates. I remember on March 12th, that's the day I pulled my kid out of school. So things were getting bad by then. And the industry's capacity to originate new loans was already quickly declining. At the same time, all-time low rates are creating unprecedented demand, and the industry just didn't have the capacity to keep up with the level of demand that was being created by the big drop in rates. Capacity constraints are still a problem, but some of the more fundamental things that were keeping rates elevated relative to MBS are beginning to calm down. It's going to be a long process. I told my MBS Live members in March it would get worse before it got better, and that it would be months before MBS returned to a more normal range versus mortgage rates. Now it's June and we're still at the widest ever spread if you consider everything before coronavirus. To quantify that, the average mortgage rate is still about 40 basis points higher than it should be based on MBS indications. And to give you an idea of how bad things were, that gap was more like 120 basis points in early April. So it was absolutely crazy. So we're moving in the right direction as far as that spread goes, and that's the reason that mortgage rates have been able to hit all-time lows a couple times in the past few weeks, even as Treasury yields remain in a sideways range well off their recent all-time lows. What will it take for that process to continue? If we have that 40 bips to make up, how soon is that going to happen? Well, it's not going to be fast, and it's not going to be based on conventional stuff that typically helps rates. One of those typical things would be economic data, and we'll likely get to see this week just how little investors are concerned with big ticket economic data, or at least economic data that has been big ticket in the past. For instance, we have non-farm payrolls coming up on Friday. It should be significantly different than it was last week and still at the historically extreme levels. And investors may not care at all because they know it's bad out there. They know it will be bad until the nation's economy is largely reopened with no new surge in COVID numbers. So it doesn't make much sense for the bond market to trade economic data in that environment. And that's exactly why it has been more willing to base its movement on other factors, like the stock market and like the supply-demand situation with massive treasury issuance creating a lot of upward pressure on rates, and that being counterbalanced by Fed bond buying creating downward pressure on rates. We'll get a big piece of information next week when the Fed announcement comes out on Wednesday, and we expect them to let us know about some maybe official QE, because up until now, it's been emergency bond buying, and investors expect them to make it official in next week's announcement. But I think after they do that, we might see the market start to move a little bit more as it then knows exactly what it's going to be getting every week. Although they've settled into such a tidy little range that it doesn't seem like that's too much of a mystery. It should be pretty close to what they're doing now. But I guess, you know, the certainty is always worth something. So if they surprise us in some kind of way, then we'll see a big move next Wednesday afternoon.
Matt dialed in, so I'm just going to bring him on real quickly. Matt, good to have you part of the podcast.
Hey, how's it going, Dave? Thank you.
Good. That was pre-recorded, folks. And he dialed in, so I was searching for your number, and I was explaining to our listeners how you will be preparing a pre-record, because there's times that the market starts deteriorating, you won't be able to be with us live. But I'm so glad that you dialed in, because I want to share with our audience what an amazing tool. I've seen the ads, and I finally was so impressed with one of my clients that they love your service. So I reached out to you, and you were gracious to let me have access to it for a little while, and I fell in love with it. I couldn't give it up. And then Joe decided to depart from the podcast. He's fully retiring. And I reached out, Matt, could you join us? And so I want to say, first of all, Matt, thank you for taking a leap with us and jumping out here. Thrilled to have you be one of our regulars. That was a great first report. Excellent job.
Yeah, thank you. It's a good thing I didn't dial in earlier, right? So you got the pre-recorded one. Who knows how that live version would have gone?
Well, you could tell that you did some editing with it, and it's excellent. I love, you know, what do they say? Perfection is the enemy of just getting out there and doing something, getting active. So, but I thought it was excellent. But let's talk a little bit about your service. And I want to talk about MBS Live, how you got it started. Can you give us just a little bit of an update? We're going to do a long topic segment on this, but just in a few moments here, tell us a little bit on MBS Live so our listeners who are listening to you have been longtime listeners and you're new to the podcast. Tell us a little bit about MBS Live.
Yeah, MBS Live is the tool that I wish I had access to back in the day when I was originating. It's a first of its kind platform with live market data, including mortgage-backed securities, but also with a live community that lets originators throughout the country interact with one another, sharing ideas, key changes in the industry, and discussing with me in real time what's going on in financial markets. In addition to that, we have all the normal bells and whistles you'd expect with mortgage calculators, marketing pieces, and alerts for changes in the market that will protect you against reprice risk, commentary and analysis designed to make you look like the expert for your clients and business partners. And it's all delivered in real-time streaming. It looks like a trading terminal. Things flash in red and green throughout the day as they happen. And yes. I've been there interacting in real-time for 13 years without taking a day off. And that's going to be the case for the foreseeable future. So part of the value there is permanent real-time access to me, too. And anyone else that we bring on in the future.
Well, that's awesome. And I love, it's more than a bright, shiny object on my desk. It's bringing really meaningful information. And one of my favorite parts is the interactivity. Each week, we're going to start getting people introduced to that. But talk about the discussion board that is so effective. Just give us one quick story of something that came out of that, and then we'll move on to the rest of the podcast. Give us one little story on that, Matt.
It's not so much a specific story, but here's one general story that we see play out time and again, is somebody will jump on chat and ask about a certain scenario problem they're having, saying, hey, the guidelines, you know, say something else, but my underwriter's saying this. And then three or four people will jump in and say, no, tell your underwriter X, Y, and Z based on this part of the guideline. And then the person jumps in chat an hour later and says, hey, I just got this email from my underwriter and the deal's approved.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, it's that collaboration. And I don't know if you were listening earlier, because we saw what happened with collaboration when we saw SpaceX and the docking and bringing humans from Florida soil to the space station for the first time in 8-9 years, whatever it was. And then we look at what you could do. And it's the same kind of collaboration. And it's all about leadership. And so it's a great tool. And I got to tell you again, Matt, I'm really honored to have you as a regular. And we're looking forward to your contributions each and every week. And for those that want to check it out and get familiar with the service, how can people do so?
Just go to mbslive.net. There's a 2-week free trial. And you can explore everything the site has to offer in that time. And you can interact with me in real time, ask me any questions you have during that process.
I love the technology. I love how it's laid out. I love how it's up to date on real time. And it's a great tool. Everyone should have it sitting on their desktop. And then also, it's got some nice mobile features. I have it on my iPad when I'm traveling. I have it also on my iPhone. So you've done a great job, Matt. Thrilled to have you here with us, and thank you.
Honored to be here, Dave. Thank you.
You bet. Folks, Alice Alvey would normally be here, but she is not able to join us today, and I just absolutely value her so much. And so let's get over to Alan Pollock. Before we do, I want to just put in a quick plug for Finastra. When you talk about leadership, so much of a company, so much about the future is, and it's who you should align yourself with, is leadership and collaboration. We were just talking to Matt, and what a powerful job he does that with MBS Live. FusionBot does that in connecting with your customers. So I encourage you to go over to Finastra's website, check it out. Actually, go over to our website, look at Unlending under sponsors, and check out what they can do to help you connect with your clients. Alan Pollock, good to have you here, friend. Appreciate you much. How's things in Florida?
Good to be here, and thank you as always. Things in Florida are great. It was the 90s this weekend, sunny, and they said it was going to rain. It didn't. So that's all I'm worried about, is they said it was going to rain, and it did not.
But anyway, what you got for the tech update?
I got a head scratcher for you.
Okay.
This is a good one. If Apple made a car, would it have windows?
If Apple made a car, would it? Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
So
of our Apple and Microsoft friends, but it's probably an old one, but a good one. And it makes you think.
Yep. Right.
You know what else made me think this weekend is the press releases in our industry. I love them. I've been part of writing many of them, but it made me just think, and I thought I'd mention this. It's a fantastic article. You know, we always hear intuitive, strong, best-in-class software driven by AI. It's transformative, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Well, this gentleman,
he
runs a company out there. Great article. His name is Adam Shirk, and he talks about the most overused buzzwords in marketing speak and press releases. And he did searches of all the active press releases that are out there. And he listed terms like unique, one of a kind, best of breed, and he goes blah, blah, blah. And he says, you know, we say the same marketing speak over and over in releases and promotional materials, award winning, et cetera. So he went and got the 100 most used terms. And these are great. The word leader was used 161,000 times in active press releases. Leading is 44,000 times. Best, top, unique, great, solution, largest. Anyways, it goes on and on and on and on. And what was great about it is he said that revolutionary was only a short amount of mentions, even though that's a word that you
really
can't be used all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my whole point on this is I scan mortgage technology and fintech press releases all week long. And I got to be honest with you, we just need to get to the point, right? It's confusing. Everybody's award winning. Everybody's best in class. We really do. We have great technology. I think we got to get to the point where we just talk about what it truly does and what's innovative and how to get in touch with us, what's actionable. I don't think there's anything wrong with the ones we have, but I just thought I'd share that.
That's really true.
We get
caught up in that, and people tune that out so quickly. Good point.
Absolutely. And really, you know, as a lender, what you want to know is really, how is this going to help me? What's the benefit of why should I engage, right? And there's a solution for everybody. Not everybody's interested in every solution. Speaking of solutions, David, Mortgage Tech Virtual Demo Day is coming up. Housing Wire, June 29th at 11 a.m. Central. It's online. You can easily register online. You want to check it out. There's a lot of great companies displaying what they would have hoped to have displayed at Mortgage Technology Conference or Digital Mortgage, which, by the way, Digital Mortgage in Vegas is still scheduled. If the show will go on, I look forward to being there and seeing many of you. But if not, there'll be more of these virtual type of demonstrations. But you want to check it out, Virtual Demo Day. David, also in the news, I saw this was just a really interesting company. We've heard of them a few times. This one I actually saw in Rob Christman's report, DocProbe. And what they do is trailing doc. They help that process. They make it transparent at the very end. And they help you get delivering of your final packages to your investors on time. It's simple and it's cost effective, et cetera. So if you're looking for some help with your trailing docs and you want to implement a great technology solution, take a look at DocProbe. I thought that was very interesting. And we all know Calyx Point. Well, they just recently introduced what they call Zenly, and it's a new platform, or it's a reconfiguration, let's call it, that gives brokers what they need to quickly manufacture, create, and deliver a new loan. It's extremely inexpensive. You can be up and running within the hour. You can get that immediately with a credit card. So if you're a new broker or you're looking for a technology solution, just haven't found the right one, Zenly may be an option for you. You want to check that out. And David, this is a great one. You know, we've talked a few times about how digital mortgage is great, but it includes a people process to it. We've highlighted a couple different companies that have done that here and there. Well, digital mortgage provider Maxwell announced that they now have what they call the Maxwell Fulfillment Platform. So leveraging their technology, leveraging more AI and all the keywords, right? Flexible, efficient, high quality. They now can help smaller or mid-sized lenders scale their business without the ways that they typically could have done it today. These folks are all in the United States with the cost of what it would typically be offshore. And they say that most of the folks that work on these teams have an average of 15 years of mortgage experience. So if you work with Maxwell and you want to scale your business, or I used to call it a bench, you want to have that bench of folks that can help out, you want to check it out. And this also, David's great. I love when big banks spend money on technology. HSBC has partnered with a company called Rate Reset, and they're calling it their Knock Knock platform, or it is their Knock Knock platform. And what it does is it basically helps look for rate resets. So if you think of prepayment risk, and it helps send offers to those borrowers, basically helps secure the relationship and helping those stay with the bank. And then, of course, helping them with better deals. And sometimes the way banks do things is they look at the overall financial situation, not just the mortgage situation. So, but they can accept the offer in less than 90 seconds, according to the bank. The borrower came. So very interesting technology and an investment they've made there. The other thing I want to talk about, I'll set the cue for next week. but we want to talk about technology adoption rates. And there's a fantastic article that's written by somebody on the outside called Tim Van Keneel, if I've said it right. He wrote the Housing Wire Pulse article about technology adoption. And we'll talk about that next week. But if you want to check it out between now and next week, because you just can't wait, definitely go for it. You can just Google Housing Wire.
Good job.
Looking forward to today's hot topic.
Yeah, I am too. Looking forward to it. Appreciate it, Alan, very much. If you want to get a hold of Alan, you can email him, A-L-L-E-N at TMS-advisors.com. He's on my advisory team. He talks about technology, and I got to tell you, you want to reach out. Yes, anyway, appreciate you so much. Hey, we didn't do our listener shout-out earlier. Yeah, I got to do one. You know what? There's this guy out there that's been a faithful listener. His name is Josh O'Leary. He's up in the Olympia, Washington area. And Josh O'Leary, appreciate you dialing in and being a part of this podcast each and every week. I know you tell others about it, so thank you. Folks, if you're interested in doing what Josh does, and that is telling others about our podcast, just send him a link to the website, and we'd be honored. So it's a real honor to have listeners like Josh O'Leary on. By the way, he's with Fairway. You wonder why great companies are great? They listen to podcasts like this. Appreciate it very much. Yeah, where's Andy Schell? Oh, he is not with us. I'm so bummed. He's up with his in-laws. He's spending some time, and it was so great to text him back and forth. I value the friendship with Andy. He is my sponsor on the CMB. We're going to be getting into that, and whew, we're on. We're going to talk about that with Justin Mollia in just a minute. So thrilled to have Matt Graham now joining us as one of the regulars. Alice and Andy will hopefully be back next week, and we'll be back with a full lineup next week. So that ends this week's weekly update. Let's get into the hot topic segment for this week. And we've got Justin DeMolia joining us. He's vice president of sales. In addition to his role at Lenders One, Justin serves as the resident CMB instructor for the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, and he is heading off class one here on the CMB final prep course, of which I am doing. I can't believe it. Justin, my good buddy, good to have you here, friend. How you doing?
I'm doing well, David. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a real honor. I mean that, and I was thinking about you. In fact, I almost called you this weekend because on Friday we had the CMB. Amber launched the whole prep course and got us off to a great start. And she says, and by the way, someone texted, and you have homework due on Thursday by 5 o'clock Eastern time. And we did what? It was so much fun. So I called Susan Stewart. I said, Susan, you're on this. She says, yeah, no pressure, right, Lincoln? I'm the incoming chairman of the MBA, and I'm taking this test, so I've got to pass this thing. I felt the same thing. I'm turning 70, 47 years in the industry. What if I bomb this thing? So anyway, we're stepping out there, folks. I encourage you to check out the CMB program. And if you don't have enough credits to do what Susan and I have done, we've been in the industry for years, get in the class lineup. It's excellent. So let's start off talking about that. Give CMB a little bit of a promo.
I actually am sponsoring two people in the class, Brian Simon, my boss, as well as Sherry McCarthy from National MI. I spoke with both of them over the weekend. And I'm lucky enough to be the resident instructor. I'm with the journey from start all the way to finish, not only with people I'm sponsoring, but the whole class. And you know, as I said on Friday's call, it's always very interesting because many of us have not been in the learning environment in 20 something years at least. And you know, typically we're in a school type of setting, we're taught material and then we're tested on it. The CMB is a little different. So the way the prep course is scheduled or set up is you actually answer the questions and do the research and then do a review the following week. So the first 3 weeks, 4 weeks, including myself, I was like, what did I sign up for? This is crazy. Yep. There's no structure. There's no guidance. But between week 3 and 4, it generally clicks that it's the topics are so broad. And there's no way you can cover all of this in such a short period of time of 7 days. The suggested resources and reading material are to give you an idea of types of things that you need to understand. And then the questions are really tailored to answer some information that's generally not in the resource material that they've given you for the week. But, you know, think outside the box and answer the question and then really gauge the feedback. One of the funny stories, first week, I'm sitting here feeling the same way you felt. My sponsor, we laughed and he said he was a horrible sponsor, but I passed the test on the first time. So I did a relatively good job. Realistically, the first set of questions I had, I thought I had the answer correct. I get feedback from one of the weekly instructors, and it was, I would give you partial credit because you missed this, and this. And knowing what I knew at the time, I'm like, no, I'm right. Right. So I responded, and instead of saying, hey, this is, I'm right, you're wrong, I was like, can you please supply the reference for your findings? And two hours later, I get a response. Oh my God, you are correct. I missed that, blah, 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 blah. And I go, okay, this is going to be great. I have a target on my back now for the next 6 weeks.
Because you just proved an instructor wrong. Oh, that's good. That's a great way to start.
I kept it to myself. You know, my outside the mortgage professional friends knew that story, but this is the first time it's coming out. I believe it's the first time it's coming out within the mortgage circle, because I was like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But yeah, the CMB is a great, great, great program. And I've been in the industry for 27 years and trying to better myself and build my resume throughout my whole career. And I always knew of the CMB and just didn't have the time to do it. And once I went through the process and got the certification, no matter who you are, it adds to your value. And
yes, it does, you
know,
already.
I would, this is going to be a horrible thing to say, but you know what? For the people who are younger in the industry that are brilliant, we all know a ton of them. The CMB gives you a little bit more credibility. And
I saw that
firsthand. I didn't think, I just think everyone knows who I am. I can hold my own in a room. Once I started wearing that pin, people would stop me in elevators. I get stopped and it just gets stopped all over the place. And people would start talking to me and asking me questions that they normally probably wouldn't have asked. It's interesting the way society, you know, works, but the Mortgage Bankers Association has done a great job promoting the program and creating the elite status that the program has to offer. And I would recommend it to anyone who's serious about their mortgage career, because it is it was a great experience. I built some wonderful connections, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that's what's already happening is the connections. Yeah, Susan and I have known each other. She and Van are great people. I've known them forever. But already, we're just like, we're entering this experience together. So Gil is on it. Gil Lopez, I'm going to be in that group. So there's a study group of us, and we're already forming, and it's already off to a, what the heck? This is so unstructured. What happened? And for those of us in a mortgage banking environment who like things structured, it's a little disconcerting. So anyway, the good news, I did study. I think I got my homework. I'll be prepared, and we got to get our study group working here overtime, fast and furious. Let's get into talking about some of the things you're seeing at Lenders One. And by the way, I just want to put in a plug, folks. We're members of both Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. I've just been so blessed with my time and the affiliation I have with Lenders One, both these organizations, but really Lenders One. This has been something else lately. As a vendor, you need to be a part of one of these things. I've gotten more business out of my relationship with Lenders One than any other single organization of anything I've done. So that's as a vendor. As a member, what they do to help you grow your business is just something else. And you can get a hold of Justin, you can get a hold of one of the other folks out there and learn more. Get a hold of me. Call me. I'll be happy to tell you all about it if you're wondering about it. But folks, join Lenders One. It's a must do. And you get to hear what's going on with under the lenders. So Justin, from your perspective, what are you finding as far as how our members are faring? We're all part of this together.
Yeah.
How are they faring out there? What are you seeing?
Like you said a few minutes ago, this industry likes structure. And it's kind of funny that we all like structure when there's never any structure in this business. It's always something. We had our summit in March and rates seemed like they were going to come down and everyone was super happy and everything was going well. And literally a week later, the world went into chaos. And, you know, we were on the phone with Fannie and MBA, you know, emails and conversations, and really trying to get some inside information that to help our members. You know, one of the greatest things that we do, again, I came from the member base, so I was a member before I joined Lenders. The community is very close and very transparent with each other.
So true.
And, you know, we were getting phone calls across the board on anything and everything. So can you help with this? What are other members are doing with this? Can you have a conversation with the MBA? And we have a great relationship with the MBA and the CMLA as well. But, you know, the MBA really stepped up, as we all know, over the past, you know, just the past short period of time to get things done and really make some change with the industry as well as Washington, D.C. And so, you know, we were the single point of contact for our members that were MBA members as well as non-MBA members. I mean, the MBA opened up their arms to everybody. So, you know, we were fielding those type of questions when the verification of employment, post-closing verification of employment came out with some of the, with Plaza, for example. Plaza's on our platform, and you know, some of our members lobbied to us and said, hey, wait a second here, you know, how can we control what happens after closing? And And we got on the phone with PASA and started the conversations. And within 3 to 4 days, they made a policy change for all sellers, not just lenders. One seller, you know, can potentially do that.
Great.
So little things like that, you know, we were there for them, whether it was margin calls, whether it was looking for warehouse lenders. We have such a wealth of knowledge internally as well as the member base that we were able to answer many of the questions. And you know, you look at this now and rates are still low. Volumes are still high. Everyone was able to close most of their loans. Everyone was just scared to death that borrowers were going to lose their jobs and they weren't going to be able to close them. And they've made all these margin calls and they weren't going to recoup the cash. I would say that I think it fared better than everyone believed it would be. It wasn't doomsday. Even with the loans in forbearance with, you know, FHFA, you know, essentially the industry, what we asked for, you know, everyone was saying that the IMBs needed the help because if they had loans stuck on their line, it'd be catastrophic. And we lobbied enough. And yeah, the 5 and 7 points is not great by any means, and it's probably not fair. But unfortunately, it's what the FHFA came out with. But ultimately, unfortunately, it's not catastrophic to any of our IMBs. So any of our members, if they have a loan that they had to take a 5 or 7 point hit on, it's not a full loan that's on their line that they can't sell. And they have 3 of them a month for the next 4 months, and not $2 million worth of loans you can't sell and you could be out of business. So,
right.
You know what? Everyone's in good spirits. Everyone's happy. We're seeing record volumes go through the cooperative right now. And everyone seems that 2020 will wind up being a great origination year, a fairly strong, profitable year. You had that subset of loans for a short period of time where they probably weren't making money on when there was a dislocation between the aggregators and the bond market and their hedges. But everyone seems to have gotten through that. Obviously, there's still some uncertainty and forbearances and servicing values are still not great, but everyone's getting through it. They're happy, they're positive, and that's the best thing about this industry is we're always all positive and we stick together and we work together. And that's the intangibles of what we do. And you know, we worked hard. We had some advisory council meetings with our members. We've had executive roundtables with Fannie Mae. We've done a bunch of different things and exposed the member base to other people.
Let's talk about some of those roundtables, because that is what I get and hear from the lenders that is so powerful. You stratify the roundtables, the discussions, the lenders' discussions, amongst the size. So it's not like someone who's a big company listing someone little and saying that doesn't apply to me. You really have stratified that. And I think that what goes on in those meetings, which are closed door to the vendors. I mean, Well, we always want to listen in. I wish we could. But it's really closed door to them, and there's some meaningful discussion. Talk a little bit about what you heard when you were in Florida. And by the way, that was a great conference. You guys, your whole team did an awesome job. Wasn't there like over 500 people at that one? It was just crazy.
Yeah, you know, that was great. We were lucky. We had a great location. We had great weather, and I have a great marketing group and education and events group that works under me. And this was the first one that I had my ability, you know, other than the location and Brian to put our spin on it and put our flair on it. And we couldn't be happier the way it came out. And the attendance was great. The ratings and surveys were great. Back to your question, we have 2 different days of member networking. And you know, that's always the highest rated. And our members always want more.
Yeah.
And we tell them to use this as a springboard and as an introduction, be able to take these conversations offline into the future. But yeah, day one is set up by size. We do it by origination volumes. And then we also have a bank chartered one as well, bank and credit union. Day two, it's by role, whether it's operations, technology, compliance.
Yeah,
so you can get a mix there. But like you said, vendors are not allowed in. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm not allowed in.
Not even you. Oh, wow.
Even Lenders One executives are not allowed in. This is supposed to be an unfiltered forum for our members to be able to talk and say anything they want to say. So we have a designated member moderator. We will have a Lenders One note taker in there as well. But I can tell you from my days as a member, the types of things that go through those stations. And it could be, you know, anything from LL Comp to culture issues, to leadership issues, to technology, compliance, anything you can imagine. You sit into a room and you just bring it up. And one of our members, you know, in one of the surveys this past after Miami came up and said, you know, it's kind of the crazy test. I sit in that room and I can validate whether or not my decisions are crazy or not. And that's what they want to do. They want to be able to go in and say, okay, this is what I do. And you'd be surprised on 70% of the room would say, oh my God, we're experiencing the same problem. And then you have 20% of the people or 30% of the people say, you know what, we've experienced it, but we've gotten through it by doing X, Y, and Z. And one of the greatest things and what really drew me to Lenders One was this unfiltered, transparent bond between members. And it's super strong. I mean, I had members that would call me. When I was a member, I'd have fellow members call me and say, hey, what are you doing here? Can you send me, what are you paying for your warehouse lines? What are you doing here? And how are you doing this? And really, it was, they were similarly sized to me, under 500 million. They were regional. They really didn't have any overlapping areas. And we went from there. And it was great. I got a quick funny story to tell you. In Miami, I was introducing two members that I'm very close with, both of them, and that didn't know each other in the connection hall where the vendors got to showcase their product. And I introduced them all to each other, and they looked at each other and said, oh, you're so-and-so from what? Oh. And they were in litigation together for loan officers leaving and stealing loans.
With each other. Oh, my gosh.
So
you didn't know that when you introduced them, of course.
Imagine me trying to crawl into a hole, right? Well, I kept the conversation going because I can talk. So I kept the conversation going. And by the end of the 2 days that they were together, they became friendly. It wasn't adversarial. They said, let's kick the attorneys out of this and let's make it work ourselves. And you know what? It's about communication. And that's one of the things that we really can do well. We also had many of our members actually merge with each other because from meeting each other at the conferences and trusting the input and the advice that they get. So the community is super strong. One of my things that I've been working on, because now vendors fall under me as well, is really working on this culture. But the member culture has always been great. We're trying to get the vendor culture to be part of the member culture and the employee culture, and really just continue to create this familial relationship amongst everyone. And the trust and respect and courtesies with each other is great.
Yeah.
And we're doing a fantastic job with it.
Well, you're doing a great job. I love what you and Brian, the new leadership that's there and what you're doing. It is very encouraging. I've got Alan on here and Alan Pollock, who has joined me. We call it the speed dating session. Yeah, the connection hall. And it is so powerful. And love this, Justin. I've never seen Alan be so engaged and take so many notes at one time. This guy was like, how do you do that? He's talking and typing and had their full attention. I looked at him, he says, yeah, take a look at these notes. And I go, oh my gosh. So that's one thing that's a skill set I wish I had. But Alan, you've attended these. Talk a little bit about your experience and any questions you have for Justin.
Yeah, of course. Justin, thanks for being here, by the way. So, and we may have met definitely in the past. I've been a Lenders One member, even though I took a break for a while, for a very long time when I was a partner of a company and we were a vendor. It was the early days of Lenders One. We used to fight actually to who was going to go to those conferences because they just, not only were they fun, but it was a more relaxing environment and it was a way to just let the guard down and just talk to people, right? Be part of community. And that's what's so great about it. And I don't want to make it sound like an advertisement, but it truly is. That's the whole thing about our industry. There is so many conferences and so many webinars and so many things you can do, but to actually just be part of community and partnership is really a big deal. And that's what makes it the most interesting. I'll answer your question, David, or what you asked me to respond to, but I also will lead into something technology. What's great about the speed dating, right? And we've all been to these kind of things. What's great about the way Lenders One does it is not only did, you guys sort of set up and say, hey, you got to sign up to meet some people, but your sales and marketing team made sure that people wanted to talk to people, right? So it wasn't just that people signed up, but it was that there was some common ground that people wanted to be meeting together, because it's one thing to force people to do it if they don't want to do it and then making it productive. So that's what I'll say about your question there, David. But Justin, talking about technology and a community of technology vendors, as a technology vendor, we all want to provide the best technology and we want to give good discounts and we want to do all those things. But when you think about like true economic times and where we are as an industry, driven by lenders and, of course, driven by the homeowner consumers, how do you see technology with your members? Is this, you seeing that your customers or your members are getting a real decision with your technology partners? Are you seeing that you're vetting and bringing good solutions? I think that's more of a leeway into just talking about how technology is playing a part in Lenders One.
Yeah, so I'm a tech geek. It's my second job. So I love technology, and I think all of our members, if they could, at the stroke of a wand, can say, okay, I have all the technology that I want at a reasonable cost, would sign up yesterday. What we find is everyone wants it, and then either the implementation times are longer than they want, or they're just way too busy.
Right.
Like, if you ask someone in today's world to make a decision, number one, and then go through implementation number two, it's probably asking a lot of them. So it was interesting, you know, when the pandemic first hit, we had our members were just head down getting loans closed. That's all they cared about. Then they came up for a breath of air about 3 weeks ago, and we saw a crazy amount of one opportunities, you know, closed one opportunities that, you know, mostly closing right now, right? That's mm-hmm. the pain of the day. You know, I think we had 25-30 e-closing contracts signed in a very short period of time, which is great. Atlantic Bay, for example, you know, they were up and running, but they weren't really doing many, and they closed over 771 e-closings in April, and we're at double in May. So it's about double in May. So we're seeing people really start going crazy. Right now, we're looking at robotics, RPIs. We're looking at some more, you know, we have Candor on the platform for automated underwriting with AI. Mm-hmm. We're looking at some more vendors that are going to offer some more AI in, because we definitely see that's where our members want to go, and everyone wants to be able to reduce the ebbs and flows of this business and the strain on personnel. Everyone knows that they're overtaxed right now, and they're working a crazy amount of hours to get these loans closed, and the employees are stepping up, but they're probably getting a little burnt out. So if you can supplement that with technology, life is going to be great. So yeah, there's definitely a big need for more technology on the loan manufacturing side, and we're exploring some new vendors, plus the vendors we currently have, and really pushing them. But more importantly, something that I try to tell all the vendors that are coming on the platform, and even the existing vendors, it's our sales group is great. They know their members extremely well. They know what they want, what they need. So they may identify an opportunity. You know, let's talk about eSign. There's an opportunity that definitely a member needs it, but they maybe can't present it now because the timing's not right. So that's something, it's more of it's a courting rather than hit them over the head and say, here you go, wait for the right window of opportunity to open up and say, okay, you know what, I think for the past 3 or 4 or 5 months you've had this problem, but this is the solution that can fix it. Let's start talking about it. And we see that sales approach works really strong. And we want to make sure that, you know, it goes back to the culture that our providers on the platform understand that. You know, we can tell you today that XYZ mortgage company wants your service and needs your service, but they're not ready. And now we just need to figure out how to get them to pull the trigger. But yeah, it's definitely fun, and you know, the psychology of selling and the timing, that's really important for our members, because we need to create value for them. And one of the things that we say is we have all these vendors, but we're going to make sure that they don't, you know, inundate you with requests and advertisements and phone calls and drop-ins or whatever it is. And that's part of the connection hall too, right? That's what makes our conversations so great, that we're allocating a specific time to have those conversations. And other times you're really just about networking. How's the family? What do you do? What do you do in your spare time? Those bonds create better long-term relationships with the vendors and the members together.
Yeah. So Justin, it's almost like, because as a technology vendor, next week I'm going to be talking about adoption. You have somebody that stands in the middle all the time that's more concerned about partnership and success. That's that advocate for you as a vendor and you as a lender, which really is something that many lenders sometimes are missing. They just don't have the time to allocate for that.
Exactly. Exactly. And the other thing is, it's funny, we always have the member say to me, well, okay, I make the sale and we have this relationship. What happens after that? Well, guess what? Our sales group, including Brian and myself and any other member, lenders, one employee, we're talking to our members constantly. We're with our members constantly when we can travel. I'm rarely in front of a computer. I'm generally on the road 4 days a week when I can travel, you know, but outside this pandemic. And if we hear that a member is unhappy with a solution that's with a vendor or partner on the platform, the first phone call I make when I leave that office is to that vendor and say, hey, ABC Mortgage Company is not necessarily happy with what's going on, or XYZ vendor is trying to steal your business. What are you going to do about it? And that is invaluable, because the member base will talk to us much more freely than they'll talk to a vendor or a provider.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You know, we it's that matter of communication that we really work on, and we're there for them. And sometimes a technology may not be the best, or a vendor relationship may not be the best. And as long as there's an explanation behind it and there's full transparency on what happened, that's great. I mean, right now I have a member that's looking to switch vendors to another vendor, similar vendor on the platform. And We've opened up the line of communication. We've told the current vendor what's going on and where they're going, so they have an opportunity to either win the business back or let it go graciously. And, you know, again, it's about working together.
It's all about collaboration. That's what I love what you guys do so well. And, Alan, I was so impressed with your note-taking while we are in the Connection Hall. It was so much fun. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are new that you see on the horizon. Especially one thing that's going to be new is how you handle events moving forwards. Talk about that.
At the end of last year, we had our 2020 event strategy in place. And January, we finalized the schedule. And we're going to be having all these great live events and more regional topical events. And we were so excited about it. Miami comes and we hit a grand slam as far as we're concerned.
You did.
That success of that conference, but also the pandemic hit. What do? So we had our first Fannie Mae roundtable, which was usually a 25 person in-person event. We had it virtually, and we had, you know, we opened it up to more than 25. I think we capped it at 30, 35. That sold out in 2 days. Altisource, our parent company, had a 2-day pandemic summit, which drew over 2,400 attendees.
Wow.
We have another virtual roundtable coming. We have a virtual base camp, which is our 1-day topical. What we're seeing is that the attendance is great. People are engaged. People, I think, are sick of sitting home in front of their computer and want a little bit of social interaction. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that even outside our industry, that all these webinars and virtual type of events are being a better attended than the live event. You know, we're going to dip our toe back in. Our August summit, which was supposed to be in Chicago, has been canceled. We're converting that over to a virtual. And then we're going to hopefully be able to travel in September for a roundtable, which will be, you know, 25 people with Fannie Mae. And then in December, we're going to try to be able to do our first base camp, our live base camp, which was a new addition to the schedule this year. That'll be at Texas Motor Speedway. It'll involve some NASCAR racing or driving and some pit stop challenges. Fun. Some cool stuff there. Then we'll be in New Orleans for our summit in March. So it definitely affected us a little bit, and especially because our events are a really networking relationship and building culture as opposed to selling. Right?
Yep.
It's only open to members and vendors. So prospects, maybe one or two prospects can be invited as special guests. It's not an opportunity for us to sell, you know, at all. We're not selling at any of our events. It's networking and building rapport and relationships.
So
the virtual events make that a little bit more difficult because, you know, people are less likely to speak, you know, up on the calls, and it doesn't replace the in-person contact and connections. But I think we've done a good job at it, and I believe that the whole world has adapted to the new world order, per se, and we're getting through it, and it, like I said, the attendance is great. I don't know if the engagement or the interaction is where we want it, but we're still building it. Hopefully, like I said, in September, we'll be back to our live events and be back to somewhat normal.
Whatever the new normal is, and it is going to be a new normal. You covered a lot in this time frame. Is there anything that you want, as we exit here, got to wrap this up, that you want to share with our listeners?
We spoke a lot about the intangible value and the non-economic value. We just launched, and I don't want to make this a sales pitch by any means, but we just launched CoreLogic Cloud Service, and we're probably one of the largest, if not the largest, reseller in the world of those flood certifications. And considering roughly 1 in 5 mortgages goes through one of our members, you know, originated in the U.S. So we just launched the same type of relationship with the Work Number through Equifax, and we're seeing tremendous amount of savings. We're in a pilot stage, and I have 100% sales success rate of about 30 members that are going to be, we started pulling live orders last week. I have a waiting list of 30 members. Then we're going to open it up to the rest of the membership base. And, you know, just things like that. I mean, 15% on bills that are $200,000 a month, add up quick, right? So definitely saving our members a lot of money there. We also have Correspondent One is being released, and it will be
very excited
we're excited about that. Hopefully that's completely up and running by September. You know, and just our healthcare captive that we stood up ourselves is going strong. Just a lot of real great economic values that, you know, now since Brian and I have been there, we're starting to move the needle for the members in a big way, which is great. So we're excited about all in the future.
Yeah, lots of new things in the new year, and also you're an engaged man, so you're a new homeowner. So you bought another house and got engaged. Congratulations on a lot of wonderful developments.
Well, thank you. All through coronavirus.
All through.
It's amazing. you read that people are getting divorced and we're merging. So it's, yeah, thank you. It's we're excited.
Well, congratulations to you and your Frances. She's just she's gorgeous. She's as intelligent and gorgeous inside as she is outside. And it was just really a blessing to meet her now. So several times. So congratulations,
well,
Justin. I got to tell you, you, like I did, overpunted your coverage. You married up big time. And I'm couldn't be happier for you. I mean that teasingly. Yeah, it's
no,
a good job. I can't wait.
She's brilliant. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow, how exciting. Wow. Yeah. There's so much there. And you've got all kinds of things developing. How about that? Well, it's so good to have you here. Appreciate you taking time out of your busy day. Greet everyone, Brian and everyone there at the L1 community. We're thrilled to be a part of it and I encourage anyone listening to this podcast to get a hold of anyone there at Lenders One. What's the best way for people to learn more, Justin, about becoming a member, whether a vendor or a lender?
You can reach out to me, justin.demola@lendersone.com, or my cell phone is 908-400-5204.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being here with us. Next week, folks,
awesome.
We've got Joe Murin. We've got him coming in, the past president of Ginnie Mae. Remember, we had Gregory Keith on just here recently talking about the requirements. That got a lot of buzz. And what should be the new capital requirements? Where is this whole thing going? And we've got Joe Murin coming on. He is a part of the Ainsworth Advisory Group. And I'm honored to have Joe part of that company, which I own. And Gary Ort is chairman of it. And I'm just thrilled to have Joe there. And we were talking as we are recording a monthly update on the Ainsworth Advisors website. Go check it out, ainsworthadvisors.com. Joe really got on a little bit of a soapbox rant, and it was so good. I wish I recorded. So I got together with him shortly thereafter. We recorded an interview that I must share with you, and we're going to do that next week. Folks, great to have you with us. Appreciate it. Also, a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, the Community Mortgage Lenders of America, MBA, Indicom, Incelerate, Ainsworth Advisors, Mobility RE, Modex, as well as AI Assistant, on and on and on. Go check them all out at our website, Lickin' on Lending, and look for our sponsors. Great group of people, and appreciate you being here. Have a great week, everybody. Look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.